So with the U.S. slipping out of the picture militarily in Afghanistan, a withdrawal underway, and military command symbolically handed over to the Afghanistan military in what NATO called Milestone 2013, you might be forgiven for thinking that the endgame in the war in Afghanistan has become a shrinking regional dispute with little relevance to the rest of the world. But an even bigger milestone for Afghanistan is the possible peace talks in Doha, Qatar, with the Taliban, U.S. representatives, and the Afghan government. They represent the opening of a conversation on real Afghan sovereignty for the first time since 1979, when the Soviets invaded. And now, President Hamid Karzai was just a college student in India back in 79. Now Karzai might be at the head of the table, though, at the talks in Doha, if he decides to show up.
The talks, having begun in Qatar, must immediately be moved to Afghanistan. Second, that the talks must bring about an end to violence in Afghanistan.
Meanwhile, the Taliban are being very aggressive in their demands, threatening at one point to use a flag that suggested they constitute a legitimate government in exile. They backed down on that, while also proposing exchanging an American prisoner of war for five of the most senior members of the Taliban held at Guantanamo Bay. Joining us now is Bruce Riedel, senior fellow and director of the Brookings Intelligence Project, former senior advisor to the last four U.S. presidents on South Asia and the Middle East. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a milestone for Afghanistan, should it really begin to discuss what sovereignty means at this point in its history after decades of war, right?
That's right. This has the potential of being incredibly important. Afghanistan is a country that's now been at war for 35 years. If Afghans can find a way to sit around a negotiating table and come up with a formula for reconciliation, that would be the best outcome for them, the best outcome for the region, and the best outcome for the United States.
What would be on the table here? Obviously, reconciliation and power sharing on some level between the Taliban and the government of Hamid Karzai, but there have also been discussions over the last 35 years of partition, of essentially recognizing the regional differences that exist in Afghanistan by making separate autonomous territories, that sort of thing.
The potential deal would probably devolve a lot of power from the central government in Kabul to provincial governors. And then each provincial governor would decide a lot about the politics of his region. That way, the northern part of the country, which is populated mostly by Tajiks, Uzbeks, and Shia, could continue to be relatively modern and progressive, while the southern part, dominated by Pashtuns, might look a lot more like the old Taliban Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. But we're a long way from that right now. We're still in the initial game of posturing over the shape of the table, if you like. Whether or not the Afghan Taliban are really serious about negotiating with the Karzai government at all, or whether they came to Doha simply to secure some propaganda points.
What do you make of the possible prisoner exchange process that's maybe being discussed, some indication that the U.S. is not rejecting it out of hand?
The possibility of a prisoner exchange has been on the table now for a couple of years. In principle, I think it's a good deal. We get our GI home, they get five guys from Guantanamo. The difficulty in the past has been, how do we make sure that the five Guantanamo detainees are not released back onto the battlefield in Afghanistan and go back to shooting at other American GIs? The proposal has been that they somehow stay in Doha. Well, Qatar's performance in the last week on these questions of the flag and the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan plaque, I think, are going to leave a lot of questions about whether the Qataris can really be promised to live up to any commitment to keep these guys under some kind of house arrest and control in Doha.
You don't see the government of Qatar as an honest broker here?
Well, I don't think that their initial performance is all that reassuring. They must have known that the Taliban were going to put that flag up, and they must have seen the sign on the wall, it's as big as you can possibly be, proclaiming the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. They should have called a halt to the whole process as soon as they walked in the door and said, hey, we need to start over again. They didn't. Hopefully they've learned some lessons from this escapade. But I think the United States is going to have to keep a very close eye on its Qatari partner in this negotiations process.
What is the chance that these talks turn into, you know, Vietnam-Paris talks, where it's essentially just a way for the U.S. to get out of Afghanistan and then everything falls apart, or a process that we alluded to earlier of essentially creating warlordocracy, where the devolution of Afghanistan becomes simply a recognition of warlord territories, and there's really no sovereignty at the end of this at all?
There's a high risk of many kinds of failures in all of this and low probability of success, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't pursue the option of negotiations. But we need to be very careful as we go forward. The perception throughout the region, and particularly in Afghanistan's neighbor Pakistan, is that the United States does want to cut and run, and that this episode in Doha last week with the flag and the plaque was only the greatest, latest indication of the American desire to just get out of Afghanistan at any cost whatsoever, and that we're prepared to abandon everything that we've done in Afghanistan for the last 12 years. I think John Kerry is going to have a considerable amount of work to do to convince people in the region that that's not the case. His special representative for Afghanistan and Pakistan, Jim Dobbins, is on his way to Kabul today, and I think he's going to have to make a pretty compelling case to Hamid Karzai that the United States is not on the verge of just cutting and running.
Quickly before we go, does Karzai survive this? Will he be the president when 2015 begins?
Karzai's term in office is up in 2014. I talked to him 2 weeks ago, and he says he's serious. He doesn't want the job anymore. He's tired of it. He wants to retire. I think we should hold him to that commitment. I think it's time for Afghanistan to have another president. Hamid Karzai has served his country well, but there are term limits in Qatar, just as there are in the United States, and his term limit is running up, and I think it's time for another leader to step forward.
Talks about sovereignty and succession in Afghanistan in the talks that are taking place in Qatar. Bruce Riedel, senior fellow and director of the Brookings Intelligence Project and former senior advisor to the last four U.S. presidents on South Asia and the Middle East. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.